And rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near.
Thank you, Wendy. Friends, as you can read in your service bulletin, and as Allie referred to, this Sunday is Gaudete. Sunday. I just love saying that. It is the third Sunday of Advent. It is symbolized with the color pink or rose, which is the color of joy. And Gaudete means rejoice. And the name of this Sunday is taken from our Christian scripture reading from Philippians, which reads in part, rejoice in the Lord always. As our sermon series suggests, during Advent, we get ready. We are waiting, we are preparing, we are anticipating. And when we prepare, it does include some worry, some angst. And it also includes some work, as our fundraising committee knows, as our deacons know, as our Christian education leaders know. Yet as we continue to get ready and prepare for the new age, we begin, just in midway through Advent, we begin to just see ahead of us the culmination, the climax of all for which we hope and pray. The birth of Jesus, the Christ. Jesus is the one who gives our whole lives meaning. And this is a big deal. A huge deal. That for which we are waiting is the meaning of our lives. And if Jesus is not the meaning of your life yet, I get that. I understand that. But if you are here, you at a bare minimum, you see others that you admire. I do. And you too desire to have Jesus as the meaning of your life. I'm not sure if any of you saw in last week's local paper. I actually didn't see it, but many people have told me about it. I came in 10th in the annual Chamber of Commerce Jingle Jog. But I was bitterly disappointed that with 10th place does not come a several thousand dollar prize award, as it does in the Boston and New York City marathons. As you can see here from the display that I brought, in 2009 and in 2010, I ran quite a few races. Lots of training accompanied each race. And before each race started, I was worried. Stomach in a knot. Was I fit enough? I was anxious. Did I eat the right foods and drink the right drink? Was I sufficiently empty enough to run the race without having to stop? Did I apply enough sunscreen? As I waited and waited at the starting line for each of the races to start, I could almost burst with tension. Like your lives and mine, like much of perhaps the work that you do and my work as your servant in this church, the time working is often a curious mix of agony and ecstasy. There are points during the race, like the 10th hour of running, that one wishes by any means to end the race. And while you're actually running, especially as you're approaching the 10th and the 11th hour, there is more agony than ecstasy. But if anyone knows about running and races, like the Kindop boys or Gina's husband, there is a bit of rejoicing that accompanies that last mile before one even gets to the finish. There is a bit of giddy anticipation that no physical or psychological agony can overwhelm. When one hears announcing the last lap around the track. And oh, I really cannot express enough to you the sense of profound joy when one sights in the distance that chute that sort of funnels you to a point where it is accomplished. When I ran the 5K race last Saturday, I didn't know where the route was. We went up High Street. The whole bloody first kilometer was uphill. And I thought by the time I got to the general store, just past the highway, to be honest, I was ready to be done. I had had enough. That was fun. I was heavy. I was sweating. I had like 5 layers on, so it was like running in a snowsuit. And then we made a left-hand turn, and I did not know where we were going after that. And we went all around down there, and eventually we finally came up Elliott Street, and we rounded the corner that I was familiar with, and then we went into the Harmony parking lot. And that tunnel at the end of the Harmony parking lot by my flat, I swear a hallelujah chorus I could hear. Before I was even finished, I experienced rejoicing while I was still in the midst of my agony. Friends, This initial feeling of rejoicing is Gaudete Sunday. It is the time where we are still sort of in the midst of waiting, of agony, of suffering, as described by the prophet Isaiah. But this Sunday, we are not so disillusioned. We are not so tired that we cease waiting, that we cease getting ready, and that we cease preparing. The birth of our Savior this Sunday is in sight. So this morning, this particular morning, we begin to rejoice. Even if at the end of our race, if we are at the end of our rope, even if we are at our deepest point of impatience and anxiety this morning, let rejoicing break through. A lesson I have learned is that the capacity to experience joy is in direct proportion to our capacity to anticipate and endure suffering. And Dart, I can see this in you as you watch these children this morning. Our capacity to experience joy is in direct proportion to our capacity to anticipate and endure suffering. The bigger the blisters, the more severe the cramps, the more one's energy is sapped from dehydration, the greater the joy when one sees the last mile mark, the chute, that finish line. In our scripture reading this morning, the prophet Isaiah describes the joy of the redeemed. And the joy envisioned by Isaiah is nothing short of extreme. Because the mind and the heart fear, because the hands are feeble, because the knees are giving way, that is why the joy can be experienced in the extreme. Isaiah describes sort of the finish line when all will see, all will hear, all will walk. Even creation, which thankfully Ali mentioned, the animals and the land, the climate will be restored. And like runners in a race, that finish line shoot will find all of God's people entering Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Friends, this Gaudete Sunday, we begin to experience the joy of Jesus' birth, though still waiting for it. It's still Advent. This Sunday, though the finish line is in sight, we are in the chute. This Sunday is our ready, get set, rejoice. Next week, we will continue to, yes, Mary, prematurely, celebrate the joy of Jesus' birth with our Christmas carol sing. And for the next 2 weeks, then, I would invite all of us to tease out, to observe, and to recognize every opportunity to be glad, every opportunity to celebrate, to appreciate, and to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This was the word of God, and it was preached to all of you, the people of God, and you, the people of God, responded, Amen.